Hello, and welcome to the Sunday Times Politics Weekly. I am Kgothatso Madisa, political reporter at the Sunday Times. Botswana has a new president following elections that shocked many, where the political party that has been in power for 58 years was removed from power. At the center of this political tectonic shift was the country's former president, Ian Khama, who went all out to remove Mokgweetsi Masisi and the Botswana Democratic Party from power. Joining me in this episode is the former president, Ian Khama, to take us into his thinking going to this watershed election.
I would not renew my membership of the EFF. I also request to resign all positions in the EFF.
We are not going to have a parallel government run by Helen Zille. There's one president here, and that president is Cyril Ramaphosa.
Marvas J.
Marikana. Marikana.
Marvas J.
Honorable members, be in order.
Those who are involved in state capture, action will be taken.
Does that include the top seven?
No.
Why does it not?
Don't start trouble. Nobody is going to announce tomorrow. The results are not correct. If that happens, people will be provoking.
You're dealing with Jacob Zuma. Every stage is a theater for him.
The people of Palestine, they're denied the right to enjoy the freedoms we so love.
Who are blown but not out.
So I think maybe just to shoot straight, would just like to get your view and feelings really about the outcomes of the elections. Maybe that should kick us off.
Yes, well, of course, like the majority in the nation, I'm absolutely delighted by the outcome, because people were being subjected to a lot of undemocratic actions. You know, the rule of law was being undermined. Democracy was in serious decline. Our economy has also gone right down. And there was just total neglect of the population. Mm. And these people were in it for themselves. There was so much self-interest and corruption and greed and acquisitions, unlawful acquisitions. And, you know, people who are opponents were being persecuted. They were being detained, locked up, you know, you name it. It was like we were in some dictatorship, you know, that we've always heard about in other countries. You'd never believe that this could have happened in Botswana. Mm. But it did under Masisi. He accomplished that. He broke the Guinness Book of Records as far as Botswana is concerned, is being able to totally destroy what we had, the reputation we had worked for 52 years to build up for our country until he took over. Mm-hmm. So yes, we are all delighted, and I think the results show it. I mean, the fact that they only came out with 4 seats out of 61 elected members of parliament,
yes,
is an indication of how the total rejection that they suffered from the voters.
You speak about persecution of opposition and all of that, and you were subject to that as well.
Yes, I was. You know, that's why I had to leave the country, because, I knew that they were intending to do me harm. I had discovered that there had been attempts to poison me. And after that fabricated affidavit that I'd stolen 100 billion bula from the National Bank, yeah, after that was thrown out and shown to have been totally false and politically motivated, then they came up with these other charges about the firearms. But that the whole idea was to arrest me, and then whilst in detention, then I was going to have life-threatening events. And that's why I left the country and came down to South Africa.
And
as you know, at the time I left South Africa, I came to South Africa, there were no charges. There was no warrant of arrest. All those followed me because they were so taken aback. They were surprised by they had no idea that I was going to do that. And the way I left the country, mm-hmm, unknown to them, and even just like the other day when I came back to get the warrant of arrest lifted, had to be planned in a manner that they wouldn't have been able to find out.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously South Africa became your safe house?
Yeah, South Africa and the Kingdom of Eswatini.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I mean, is it because of the ties that you had built perhaps with the two countries before, I mean, while you were still the president?
Which two countries? You mean South Africa?
And Eswatini, yes. For them to house you,
well,
yes.
Of course, I mean, you know, South Africa is just, you know, a country which is very familiar to us. You know, we've got a lot of people who used to work or stay in Botswana. The trade relations, the relatives backwards and forwards, mm-hmm. and there were people there who offered to assist us and support us whilst we were in South Africa. And with Eswatini, right from my father's days, my father had very good relations with King Sobhuza. The two families knew each other well, and that continued when I was in office. And His Majesty also offered his country for us to stay, our family to stay in, and was very generous in that regard.
So what happens now with your own future? Are you moving back to Botswana?
I came back almost 7 weeks ago with intention to stay here permanently. So yes, that is my plan. I'm here to stay. And I will be taking up the chieftainship of my tribe now full time. I'll continue in conservation and charitable work, as well as there are other couple of entities on the African continent that I'm involved in, like the Pan-African Heritage Museum in Ghana, and also the Leadership Awards, which recognizes excellence in various fields by people on the continent.
Okay, and in politics? You don't mention politics.
I left politics on midnight on Sunday. It was announced that I had left as patron of the party I was engaged with for the last few years, and I used politics was the only weapon I could use in trying to influence the population to vote these people out of office, and that's what we managed to achieve. So having achieved that, there's no need for me to continue in politics.
And maybe just to bring us into your confidence on your role in the outcomes that we've now seen. You've played a quite significant role in bringing together some of the opposition parties under one umbrella, but you or your party also, in the midst of things, also pulled out to stand on its own. Can you maybe just give us the analysis and the politics around all of that?
No, well, my party was definitely keen to join with the Umbrella for Democratic Change. There were negotiations that took place, but unfortunately, they didn't yield the results we expected. But we didn't go into the campaign as opponents. We didn't campaign against them. We only ever campaigned against the ruling party the then ruling party. Because we recognized that all these other parties in opposition, we all had a common, ambition, objective, and that was to get rid of the ruling party. And my own role was that, as you know, there were a number of attempts by leaders in the region and former leaders to try to get Masisi and me together. But he rejected all those attempts because he didn't want anything that would see me back in the country before the elections, because he was worried about whatever influence I may have still on the population, I should not be able to exercise that. So I was determined to come back before the election. And I came back, as I said, it was about 6 weeks before the election, 6 weeks. And I spent the last month, 4 weeks before the election, crisscrossing the country. I addressed about 92 rallies, traveled several thousand kilometers going around and urging our citizens to help me fix the mistake that I made in appointing him in the first place, that I was responsible for their suffering and the pain that they were going through. I apologized to them, as I have done on previous occasions, for the serious error of judgment on my part, and I take the full blame for that. And the country is where it was because of that misjudgment of mine. And I just felt that I can't just walk away from having made a mistake like that. I must be in the forefront of trying to to fix things. And that's why I threw myself into this campaign wholeheartedly to remove him and his regime.
Two things there. One, you are happy now that you were able to achieve that. But two, maybe coupled with that, what went wrong? I mean, you see him as your successor. You appoint him, he takes over, and then things change. What went wrong, and how do you find yourself at crossroads?
Well, I think what went wrong was that it's something to do with his own character. There's a flaw in his character where he believed that as president, everything rotates around him and nobody else. So when I left office, I continued with charitable work and conservation work. And then I would be invited to events, you know, and to go and speak or officiate, as you would expect any former leader to be invited to. But he didn't like that exposure that I was getting because he felt that I was overshadowing him. And that's when he started to put limits on my travel. He would threaten businesses that were donating to my charities. If a government school invited me to officiate at a prize-giving ceremony or an anniversary, next thing the school would be told to uninvite me or to cancel the event so that I shouldn't appear there. The government media, the radio, the television, the newspaper were told not to cover me so that I shouldn't get any exposure. Everything should just be centered on him. So that was what started it. And then when one realized that, gosh, what's going on? I mean, you know, he will obviously, as president, make a name for himself like his predecessors have done. Why should he be envious of the fact that we still continue to enjoy public support? And then this thing of intolerance of other people and persecution, that's what led me to leave the party. And then leaving the party, that was the biggest crime I could commit. And that's why they tried to poison me. That's why they then tried to fabricate this thing about me having stolen 100 billion pula, which all came about. And then it's sort of like, you know, someone who doesn't know how to handle power. He was on a joyride. It was all about him and not about the nation. Sort of like Donald Trump, who regrettably, unfortunately, has just been won the election. We're just going to go through. It's just going to be chaos now going forward.
So how would you then describe your feelings now that, you know, you achieved this? Do you leave politics a happy man?
Well, you know, yes, because, you know, I came back to Botswana 7 weeks ago, and now I can say I am in Botswana. You know, I was in Botswana then, but the difference between Botswana when I came back and Botswana now, since he has gone, is like chalk and cheese. And everybody around the country, if you were to ask them, they just feel like it's a second republic, it's a second independence. They are free once again. They say it's freedom. Now we can talk. Now we can talk on our phones. We can go and meet people without worrying that the intelligence service are going to come in and pick us up and detain us and question us unlawfully, which is what they were doing, like, you know, in a like they do in dictatorships. And everybody just had that relief. You could feel it in the nation. I mean, you would have to have been here. It was just like this burden being lifted off everybody's shoulders that now he had gone. And he tried to put on a show of being very magnanimous in defeat and, you know, tolerant and accepting it and everything. That was just an act, something which is done all his life. It was just an act to try to give the impression. But there's no way he could have, you know, done anything else, because the people had spoken and they spoke very loudly, and the numbers speak for themselves.
On that freedom that you say, you know, people are now experiencing, what do you then envision as the future of Botswana?
Well, I'm you see, now that we have a new president, there are a couple of issues, I think, where we are not likely to go down that same path. First of all, he's an advocate, he's a lawyer. So, and who understands the rule of law and the constitution, that when you take the oath of office and you swear to uphold the constitution, the laws of the country, that has meaning, you know, that as a lawyer, he would understand fully what that means and abide by it. And then secondly, he has seen what has happened in the last 6 years, what has gone wrong in the country. And nobody wants to leave a legacy, to have a legacy, you know, where you have been a total failure, like Masisi has been a total failure. And then to be thrown out of office in such an undignified manner and preside over a party which has once was a ruling party for 58 years, always having a majority, although in 2019 they also rigged the elections because the UDC won those elections as well. And then come to this situation where he's at. So it's a great feeling. It really is to be in you're back in your country and to be able to go around and just behave like you used to be able to.
And okay, so what would you like the new president to focus on in taking Botswana forward?
Well, the first thing he's got to do really is to do an audit of our finances, because these people really undermined our financial regulations. And we will know well known for our financial prudency in Botswana.
Okay.
So he's got to really work out that how were all the procedures that were put in place, and the policies that were put in place in order to have good governance in the country, something that we were proud of, how those have been undermined. And he's got to work on putting those back and repairing the damage that was done by Masisi. Then he's got his manifesto. You know, they have a party manifesto that they've got to now promise, that they promised to the people that they were going to do X, Y, and Z for them. But that manifesto pledge and them being able to implement it is going to also depend on repairing the damage that was done beforehand. Because, you know, when you make a pledge, you're assuming that you're inheriting a healthy economy for you to be able to then pledge and promise people. And of course, there are expectations there. But now, when they get into office and then go and have a look and see the state that our economy is, they're going to have to explain to the nation that, okay, just hold on a bit on those expectations. We've got to fix first the damage that has been done, and then we'll be able to implement fully what we pledge in our manifesto. So I'm sure they'll be able to, they'll take this, they'll go about it very vigorously, because they've got those two hurdles to overcome. One is the manifesto pledge, and secondly, the repair of the damage. And like other countries in the region, we are going through a drought at the moment. So that's another problem we are facing.
Thank you so much. Perhaps maybe as a last question from my side, you'll say if there's anything else that you'd like, you know, South African residents to know about. But what the Masisi seems to have enjoyed very close ties with the ZANU PF in Zimbabwe. Would that be your view as well?
Birds of a feather. I mean, they were attracted to each other maybe because they have similar governance tactics and strategies that they were being implemented, because and that's what probably brought them together. They'd known each other from the past, and that's why before the election, President Mnangagwa actually said publicly that he supports the BDP. He would support Masisi to win the election. And normally, you know, in SADC, that's not done.
It's very odd.
Ruling parties do cooperate. They invite each other to their party congresses and conferences, you know, as a show of solidarity. But when you come to an election, even though you may call your brother, you know, next door and say, I hope you win the election, we are supporting you, but you don't do it publicly, because if the opposition win, now how will the opposition feel dealing with a ruling party as a neighbor who was not supporting you and said it publicly? So that can also, it wasn't a very politically mature move or diplomatic move. It wasn't well thought out, that he probably just assumed Masisi was going to win and felt confident enough to say it. But now here's the situation where he supported Masisi, and someone else won the election. Yeah. And how do they now move forward together?
Yeah, no, it's a serious hot potato. He put himself.
The foreign ministers are going to have their work cut out.
Absolutely.
To find each other, reach out and find each other. Yeah.
No, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you taking time to speak to us, to explain your view on the outcomes of the elections and your own future. Because, I mean, as you are aware, a lot of South Africans are interested in how you move and all of those things. So we really appreciate you taking this time. Thank you so much.
Okay.
We'll talk again. Thank you.
That is where we ended in this episode of the Sunday Times Politics Weekly. Thank you to former President Ian Khama for joining us. Thank you for listening. I have been your host, Khotatso Madisa. Until next time, goodbye.